by faith, not in these times. It's not always easy to obey God and do what we know we should be doing. It's not always easy to live according to God's will for our lives. And sometimes we need help. And that's why we're a church. Keith and I were talking a little bit ago about how his lesson today lines up with what I'm bringing you today. And it's amazing. It's just confirmation that God is at work. And God truly talks to all of us. Always tries to get us on that proverbial same page, working together. See, a little motivation is needed sometimes to get us to do what is right. I know we have His Word. We gather together in Sunday school class, but sometimes it takes a little more. Sometimes it takes a helping hand from, look around, the people sitting around you. Just a little bit of encouragement. Encouragement is awesome. It can change the course of a person's day, a person's week, or a person's life. I had a Christian friend stop by this week, just out of the blue. Not because he needed anything, just because we could talk. He brightened my day. He improved the day for me just by his taking the time to pull in my driveway and knock on my door. It was great. It's encouragement. And it's proof to me that the message that God was giving me is truly what I need to be doing. Because a man stopped and encouraged my life that day. And I think you'll find out the people that influenced your life the most is the ones that have encouraged you along your way, be it your parents, a grandfather, a grandmother, a close friend, a teacher. Someone has taken the time to look at you and say, well done. I like what you're doing. I like to see where you're going. I don't care how great or famous you are. The greatest men in this country need to be encouraged. They need a pat on the back once in a while just to be sure they're going the right direction. When someone encourages you, it can be that little bit that you needed to get you over a threshold in your life. Maybe you're struggling with an issue. And just that moment, that little pat on the back is all you need to keep moving forward. The difference between giving up and moving on. The difference between giving up and getting God's blessing. Correction does much, but encouragement does even more. And that comes from one of the motivational things I had at work, you know, they like to give you. But it's true. We all need correction, but even more, we need encouragement. We're going to look at the book of Hebrews today for our inspiration. At the time of the writing of this book, Christians were being persecuted. And sometimes our tendency is when we face persecution, it's, you know, all man for himself and let's duck and hide or duck and run. But the book of Hebrews encourages us to encourage each other. I read somewhere that said encouragement is the kind of expression that helps someone want to be a better Christian, even when life is rough. To encourage is to inspire another one with courage. In fact, Hebrews 3, 12 through 13, it commands us, beware, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily what is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Basically, it says, brothers, sisters, see to it that you see to each other. Don't let a sinful heart turn you away from God, but encourage each other daily. Lift each other up. See, the word encourage here is present tense. It indicates now. A habit, a way of life, something that we do daily. It means we don't wait for others to encourage us, but we encourage first. We're reaching out. We're touching hearts. We're changing lives. And that's not just for pastors or for deacons or for Sunday school teachers. It's a command to each and every one of us. People live by encouragement, and without it, they die. Slowly, sadly, and bitterly. We rely on each other. So we need to hold tight to our hope. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who is promised is faithful. We must never let loose our grip on what we believe. See, the confession of Jesus Christ is a confession that we all need to make. Do you all here today have hope? Not that hope where you're wishing to get a present or you're wishing for something magical to happen in your life, but that hope that we get when we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Do you have expectancy in your life? Do you expect God to touch your life? I hope you come here today expecting to be touched. I hope you come here waiting for God to speak to your heart, to send you out of here with joy and with hope. You see, Jesus died on the cross for our sin. He received the punishment that we deserved. He purchased our pardon through His blood. He faced hell for what we have done. But He rose again, conquering sin and death and the grave. He ascended back into heaven and He waits. He's coming back for us, brothers and sisters. And that's the hope that you should have today. And I hope that you hold on tight to that and you proclaim it every day through the way you live your life, through the encouragement that you give to other Christians. Persevere in confessing Christ to all those around you. You see, cynical voices try to silence us. Just look in the news. Look all around you. People want to shut us up. They don't want to hear what we have to say about Jesus Christ. But hold tight to your hope. Materialistic voices try to shut us down. They whisper those sweet nothings in our ear about, look what you can have. Look what you can do. But the fallback is, it draws you away from Christ. But look how sparkly, look how bright. Sometimes the events of life seem to shake our faith, to draw us back. And that's why we're here. We're here to encourage each other to rise above what happens in that materialistic world outside here. I want to ask you today, has God ever failed us? Maybe we don't always get the answer we want, but God is faithful. He upholds all of His promises, and the greatest promise yet to come is Jesus Christ coming back to reclaim us, to take us to that perfect place, to take us to heaven, to sit before God, to worship God in that final truth and justice and joy that He promises us. Hebrews 10:23 says, let's hold fast to the confession. Hold fast means to grab a hold. Hold on tight. Don't let it slip away. We must do this without wavering. Always holding fast to our faith. You see, if you slip, you can become off balanced. And you can fall. We must not ever bend or yield to what the world offers us. Do you ever face a difficult time in your life when you just don't know anymore? Is God really in charge? Is God really in control of my life? Things are so difficult. There's little reason for keeping on. There's very little reason for holding on. But I want to tell you, the one that made the promise to us is faithful. You see, he doesn't count our life in short segments like we see it. God sees our life as a whole big panoramic view. And I'm telling you today, when you face those difficult times, hold on, because God is on the way with the help you need. Yeah, right now at this moment, it may seem pointless, but God sees beyond what we can see. He's holding on. He'll lift you up if you just believe. He'll give you the strength and the support that you need. And how does that happen? How do we take the tragedies of today to the triumphs for tomorrow? Well, he says, encourage one another. Right here's your help group. Right here's your hope. All around you. Look around this room. Everyone here is a brother and a sister. God's called us together. Keith made a point today when we were talking about church isn't a building. It's a group of people. And when we go out them doors this morning, we don't quit being a church. All we did was leave a building. We're the same church sitting in here. We're the same church going to our homes out there. We're all part of a body of believers. We're all about encouraging each other. Hebrews 10:24 says, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. It tells us to put our mind to the task of assisting other Christians. Let us consider one another. It means to observe intently. I should be looking at you and trying to understand what you need in your life. How can I be assistance to you without you asking? That's what it means to observe, to consider. We are to focus on encouraging each other. You always say God steps on my toes first, and God started stepping on my toes Monday when I started reading scriptures about what I wanted to talk about. And I have to think, you know, is this me or is this God talking to me? I try to separate myself because I want no part of Mike Walters standing up here. It can only be God speaking. And God continues to work. And then God confirms the stuff that's going on in my heart and my mind. Encouragement. Encouragement. I told you I had a visit from a friend. I also got a card in the mail today, or this week. And it was a joy to my heart. It was a bright spot in my day. Someone took the time to send me a card that just said, thank you. That's encouragement. That's God confirming what I'm thinking, what I'm doing, what I'm working on. And then to come here today and have Keith tell me the things that the youth talk about, and I understand now it's confirmed again. The same message I'm using is the same message they had. Encouragement. Taking care of each other. The emphasis is getting to know each other as a community of faith. Forget about the word church. Let's just not even call it church anymore. Let's call it friends and family. So we need to stir up love and good works. How do we stir them up? We have to create a thirst for that love, a thirst to reach out. When you get thirsty, you reach for a bottle of water or a bottle of pop or whatever you drink. And we got to create that in each other. When we have a spiritual thirst, the first thing we do is reach out to each other. You see, church can be a great place to get caught up on the latest things. I mean, we can come here and talk about the basketball playoffs. We share family news here. We share our health concerns. We drink a cup of coffee together. About all of our Sunday school classes make coffee now. Or those that don't like coffee share something else. A handshake, a friendly hug. These are all part of the social interaction that we need as human beings. And all this is good. This is great. It goes farther than that. Christian fellowship goes much deeper than just the socializing when we get together here at church. The Christian fellowship takes place when we consider how we can lift each other up and build each other up. Does it mean something to you when someone takes the time and says, well, how's your dad doing? Is he doing better now? And you know in their voice, in their heart, they're truly concerned with you as a brother and a sister. That's encouragement. We offer encouragement to our friends when we offer to pray for them. I hope you all take the prayer list seriously and you seriously pray for those people because it makes a difference. And when someone calls me and asks me, can you pray for me? It means something to me that they care enough to reach out. And I hope it means enough to them that I take the time to pray. These are the elements that make a fellowship genuine, a time together. So what about it, church? Are we just socializing here? Or are we practicing true Christian fellowship? I hope you take the time to get to know those sitting around you. You see, Christian fellowship is what builds us up and binds us together. Now, you may find this hard to believe, but I'm going to tell you, probably here in Coshocton, there's no perfect churches. I'm going to say there's probably no perfect churches in this country, and that's because there's no perfect Christians. I'll guess that in every church in this town, you'll find people who gossip, criticize, and complain. Some of the criticisms may be true, maybe not true. But when we do those things, we need to look at ourselves first and make sure we're not part of the problem. You ever heard of the term prime the pump? Everybody knows what that goes for. Ever seen these hand pumps? I see Chuck shaking his head, yes. He's been there, done that. I happen to, too, just because my grandpa had a hand pump down by his garden. They had running water in the house, but we loved to play with his old pump. You could get down there and you could jack a handle up and down all you wanted. You would never get any water out of it until you went up to the house and got a bucket of water, or you dipped it out of the creek down behind the shed, and you pour that bucket of water down that well, then you start pumping, and that's when you start getting water. You see, there's plenty of water in the ground. There's plenty of water in that well. But until you prime that pump, you're not going to get anything. And Christians, I'm thinking maybe we need to prime our spiritual pump. We need to pour out our love and our care before we start pumping on that handle expecting to get water, expecting to get that spiritual water that we all desire, that we all need. And to do that, to feel the friendliness of an assembly of believers, we need to assemble together. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as a manner of some, but extorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. You see, stimulating and urging is needed to get people to bind together, to start acting together. We should not abandon our worship. We should not abandon our gathering together. We need each other to stir up that love and that tenderness and that kindness. The same that God pours out upon us, we need to pour out upon each other. You see, the church has fallen on difficult times lately. Church numbers are falling. Not just Baptist churches, but churches in general. For some Christians, church is a weak substitute for just sleeping in on Sunday mornings. The fact is, many professing Christians don't believe they need to go to church at all. They think they can be perfectly good Christians by just belonging to a congregation. But God disagrees. That's not what He says in His Word. One thing I want you to think about today, that our own spiritual warfare isn't our only concern. If you think you can sit at home and wage your own spiritual battle, maybe you can, maybe you can't. But you need to remember, God doesn't call us together just so we can have our own private battle. God calls us together so we can help each other. It's not about me. It's about you and what you need. What battles are you fighting here today? What battles are you going to face this week? You see, if I choose to stay home, maybe I was that one person that you needed to talk to this week. Maybe I'm that one person that has been, that has faced what you are facing right now. Maybe I'm the one that you need to rely on for strength to get through today, to get through tomorrow. And if I choose to stay home and drink coffee in my pajamas and watch church on TV, I've failed. I've failed what God has called me to do, and that's to be here, to be part of this family, to be an encourager, to help you get through the things in your life that's bringing you down. If we stay away, maybe we're that weak link that causes someone else to stumble. On the other hand, if we attend church with enthusiasm, we join in the worship, we sing the songs, we listen to the preacher, we listen to our Sunday school teachers, and more than that, we listen to those sitting around us. And we can say, yeah, I've done that. I've faced that in my life. Here's what worked for me. Let me share with you. Let me pray with you. Let me lift you up this week. I'm just a phone call away, brother. Stop by and see me, and I'll help you out. Christian faith has no room for individualism. It takes more than one coal to create a fire. It takes a bunch of coals together. And that's what we are. We're a bunch of coals sitting here together, and we're fanned by the breath of the Holy Spirit. And we can burn into each other's lives to warm each other up with the Spirit of God. If we're honest, it's a fellowship that builds us up and binds us together. Nowhere in the Bible does it say just having your name on a membership list make you a Christian. Doesn't mean you're saved. It's what's in your heart. A Christian without a church is like a soldier without an army. It's like a citizen who doesn't vote. It's like a child without a family and a ball player without a team. Who are you without those around you? So don't neglect one of God's greatest provisions for your spiritual growth. And that's to join together. Take an interest in those around you. Be an encourager. Lift people up. I want you to look back in that verse again. It says, not forsaking the assemblies of ourselves together as in the manner of some, but extorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. The conjunction, but. So if you're just coming here on Sunday morning and sitting in a pew and listening to the message, you're doing great. But you're not fulfilling the whole message, the whole purpose of this scripture. It says, but. You should be exhorting one another. You can come and listen, but the rest of it takes an action, and that's to reach out, to lift up. You see, encouragement is our purpose of meeting together, to lift each other up. Okay, now, I know you guys don't like my quizzes, so I got something different for you today. No test. I got some facts and some lessons for you, five of them to be exact. Have you ever wondered why Canadian geese fly in a V formation? No, you don't care. You don't know. Well, for years, specialists in aerodynamics have studied this. I suppose they got a government grant to study geese flight. I don't know. But anyway, this thing I read, two engineers calibrated a wind tunnel to study what happens if geese fly in a V formation. They found out that when geese, each goose in flapping his wings creates an upward lift for the goose that follows. When all the geese do their part in the V formation, They calculated that the whole flock has a 71% greater flying range than if each bird flew alone. Each depends on the other to get to his destination. 71% longer flying range. Okay. I'll accept what the engineers say. All right, fact number one. As each goose flaps his wings, he creates an uplift for the birds that follow. By flying in a V formation, the whole flock has 71% greater flying range than if each bird flew alone. Okay, lesson number one. People who share a common direction and a sense of community can get where they are going quicker and easier because they are traveling on the thrust of one another. We can go farther and faster and grow more in God's Word if we rely on those around us. Fact number two. When a goose falls out of formation, it suddenly feels the drag and the resistance of flying alone. It quickly moves back into formation to take advantage of the lifting power of the bird in front of it. Lesson number two. If we had as much common sense as a goose, we stay in formation. We stay with those that are headed in the same direction we're heading. Because when we fall out of formation, we find the going a lot harder. Fact number three. When the lead goose gets tired, it rotates back into the formation and another goose flies to the point position. Lesson number three. It pays to take turns doing the hard tasks. Sharing leadership. As with geese, people are interdependent on each other's skills, their knowledge, and their strengths. We all have a unique set of gifts and attitudes and aptitudes that God gives us. You don't always have to be on the point. Rely on others. Fact number four. Geese flying in formation honk to encourage those up front and to keep up their speed. Lesson number four. We need to make sure our honking is an encouragement to each other. Okay, I know you're thinking about my singing, but that's not it. We can either be encouragers or we can cause someone to fall. So whatever you're honking, make sure you're encouraging those around you. It's better than a test, isn't it? Fact number five. When a goose gets sick, wounded, or shot down, two geese drop out of formation and follow it down to help protect it. They stay with it until it either dies or is unable to fly again. Or it is able to fly again, I'm sorry. Then they launch out with another formation or catch up with their formation. Lesson number five. If we had as much sense as a goose, we'd stand beside each other in difficult times as well as when we are strong. No one in this room is strong all the time. No one in this room is always on the mountaintop. Everyone in this room at some point in their life is down in the valley and they need encouragement. They need encouragement. They need help. Sometimes they just need laughter in their life. Sometimes they just need someone to send a card, to pull in the driveway, say, I'm not here for any purpose, just to drink a cup of coffee and talk. We need to be encouragers. We need to lift each other up. William Barclay wrote, it's easy to laugh at men's ideals. It's easy to discourage others. The world is full of discouragers. We have a Christian duty to encourage one another. Many a time a word of praise or thanks or appreciation or cheer has kept a man on his feet. Blessed is the man who speaks such a word. It's easy to tear something down, people included. But it's harder to build them up. God calls on us to build people up. Everyone here possesses that ability because God gives it to us. It's in His Word. It's in your Sunday school classes. It's in your prayers. When you see one struggling, someone struggling, reach out a hand. Give them a pat on the back. Lift them up and say, "Can I help you?" God asks us to hold fast, to be unwavering in our loyalty to Christ. But He calls us to hold fast in our loyalty to each other. Not that we're elevated above Christ, but because God loves each and every one of us. And Christ died for each one of us. And He wants us to succeed. He doesn't want anyone left behind. This world is full of discouragement. This world sets us up to fail. It tries to pull us in the directions that God doesn't want us to go. And we're all of us are anchors for God's Word. Today I want to ask you if you'll risk more than others think is safe. Care more about others than you think is safe. And dream more than others that you think is practical. Extend your horizons. God wants you to be great. There's greatness in each and every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ. Every one of you has been given a talent. Maybe more than one. But God has set you up to succeed. All we got to do is rely on others. Put your pride away. Reach out. Say, "I need help right here." Confess your sins to each other. Let's all stand. Heavenly Father, You give us all we need. You give us Your Word, Your roadmap for our life, Father, and You give us the Holy Spirit as that guidepost, that voice that keeps us going in the right direction. Father, You've poured Your love out on us in the blood of Jesus Christ. Time and time again, You tell us that we are all worthy to be loved by You. We just have to turn our back on sin and turn to You. I pray here this morning, Father, that we would all be encouragers. That we would look away from the faults of our brothers. That we would look to their good works and their good deeds, Father, and that we would lift them up. That we would help them every time we see them stumble. That You would give us a heart for the lost, Father. A desire to reach out and to draw them in. That You may speak to their hearts. Father, we gather here just to give You glory and to worship You and to thank You so much for all the blessings that You've poured out upon our lives. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.